You're listening to the NYU Arts and Science Alumni Podcast, where we feature alumni who are working in various fields and have interesting experiences to share. Our guest today, Robert Kamen, is the talented screenwriter of such films as Taps, The Karate Kid series, The Fifth Element, A Walk in the Clouds, and The Transporter series, the third of which is currently playing in theaters nationwide. Robert is also the owner of Kamen Estate Wines. Robert, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Robert, I like to start these interviews off asking our guests if they have any memories of NYU. Do you have any memories of NYU? Are there any professors who had an influence on you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there were a number of professors that had an influence on me that turned me from an unthinking being into a thinking one. One was John Wilkes. He was a history professor of English history, who I adored. Another was Bill Owen, who was a professor of classics, who I took comedy and tragedy with. And he was just amazing and fantastic and really influenced me. Another was my honors professor, Professor Moglen, Helene Moglen, who teaches, I think, in California somewhere now. And there was Gay Wilson Allen, who was an English teacher, who was friends with Robert Tate and Theodore Rutke and all these poets, and he was a tremendous influence on me. And there was John Needler, who was the dean of the college, who was the Shakespeare expert. He had a tremendous influence on me. And Ralph Renauld, who was a professor of English also, who was quite a brilliant guy, very eccentric. He was a dean. Really a brilliant guy who really took a tremendous amount of time with me when I just didn't know what to do with myself and was flailing and sort of focused me. Now, all those people had great influences on me. As a matter of fact, to just the other day I was thinking about John Wilkes and his courses in English history and how they really, really set the tone for how I proceeded academically from there.
Huh. And then how did you get into screenwriting?
I had gone to Afghanistan when I was in graduate school. I was in graduate school at Penn, and I spent a period of time in Afghanistan, and I came home and wrote a novel about it, and a cousin of mine knew a film director, and he convinced me to take the novel and turn it into a screenplay, and Warner Brothers both bought the screenplay, and that's how I got into it.
Can you tell us where the idea for the Karate Kid movies came from?
Well, okay, I've been doing martial arts since I'm 17. I started doing karate in 65, I think. And as a matter of fact, I founded I taught karate up at NYU in the Heights when I was in my junior and senior year there. I had a bunch of guys that I taught. And I was pretty much a karate fanatic. I just practiced all the time. I practiced 4 hours, 5 hours a day. And my teacher was a really funny Okinawan guy, really great teacher, spoke no English, very cool guy. And when I started screenwriting, Frank Price, who was the chairman of Columbia at the time, he was my mentor in the business, he called me up and said, look, I just bought this project from Jerry Weintraub about a 9-year-old kid who got a black belt. I know you know something about this stuff. What do you think? And I said, well, I just happen to have a story about a kid who moves from New Jersey to California and meets this secret karate master gardener guy, and it was supposed to be a little movie, and they bought it. And then it became a phenomenon. And then I wrote the second one, the third one. They didn't want to do what I wanted to do for the third one. And it's a real pity because if they had, they would have had more luck with the thing at the time. I wanted to do a kung fu movie. I wanted to do stuff like they did in Matrix, but I wanted to do it 11 years before that. But nobody wanted to do that, and so I sort of, you know, left the whole Karate Kid thing behind, and now they are they're doing a remake of the Karate Kid with Will Smith's 11-year-old kid playing the kid. But it's very strange to see in your lifetime to see a movie become an iconic, you know, movie. I was walking down the street one day and I walked past Urban Outfitters and they were selling shirts that said wax on, wax off. I'm sort of, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, oh my gosh, what did I do? I'm a t-shirt. And it, you know, and I continue to do martial arts to this day. I've done three movies now with Jet Li, and we've become very close, really good friends and stuff. And martial arts continues to be a big part of my life. It's, you know, one of writing martial arts and making wine are my three passions. And whenever I say that, my wife gets nuts. And I said, these are inanimate passions, and of course, yeah, you're my other passion that lives and breathes.
Robert, you mentioned that your other passion, wine. Can you talk a little bit about how you got into the wine business? And first of all, I guess, how did you find the land in California?
How did I do that? Well, after I saw my first screenplay, I went up to Sonoma to celebrate with a friend of mine, and he took me to this piece of property that overlooked the whole San Francisco Bay. And we sat there all day, and at the end of the day, I'm looking at this and looking at this, and I said, oh my gosh, I can stay here forever. And he said, you can, it's for sale. And being a person of impulse, I bought it. Just 300 acres of raw land.
Wow. So, and what's the process like of turning that raw land into, you know, usable land, able to produce fruit?
Oh my gosh. Well, first I found this amazing guy who wanted to plant vineyards organically on mountainsides. And he had such a good rap about organics, and I was a child of the 60s, that I agreed to do it. Plus, he grew great pot, and I figured if he can grow great pot, he can plant great grapes. So I had sold another screenplay that became the movie Taps, and got a bunch of dough, and gave him the dough, and he planted the vineyard. And that's how it started. And I just grew grapes for many years, and then in 1993, I wrote a movie called A Walk in the Clouds, and at the end of the movie, I needed this big third act kicker, and I burned the vineyard down in the movie. And 2 years later, my vineyard burned down, and the fire was caused by Pacific Gas and Electric not trimming the trees around the high power lines, and in suing them to get money to replant my vineyard, they sent all these experts up to the vineyard, and I found out I had this very unique piece of property, tremendous potential for making wine, and I started making wine. And all the experts turned out to be right. The property was very unique, and the wines are very unique.
And do you have any idea of how many organic vineyards currently exist in Northern California?
Well, I don't know. There are more and more. When I first planted my vineyard, there were probably no more than six in all of Northern California. And we were the first ones in Sonoma that I know of to have a strictly organic vineyard. Everybody thought we were crazy at the beginning, and now everybody's on the bandwagon.
Can you tell our listeners where they can purchase your wines?
Well, the best way to do it is go online to caymanwines.com and just join the mailing list and buy it from me, because then I get the retail price instead of the store. That's the easiest way to do it, because very few, I don't make a lot of it, and very few shops have it. A few shops in the city have it here, and a few shops around the country, but mostly the best way to buy it is through me.
Great. So, Robert, I'd like to go back and ask you a few more questions about the entertainment industry, about screenwriting. Where do you see the movie industry headed? You know, what do you think is going to happen?
Oh, who knows? You know, the movie companies are now run by these big conglomerates, and they're governed by economic forces that have nothing to do with making movies. They're governed by whether the parent company wants to fund the movie company with more money or less money, or how it fits into their financial planning plan, or if they determine they're just going to make tentpole pictures because they can sync that up with their music business and their video business and their television business. And And it's a very complicated sort of thing. Right now, the movie business is a weird place because the credit markets have frozen up, and there's no money for small independent films. All that money has gone away. So you're left with these the studios financing things, and the studios only finance these big movies. They're not interested in the little films. And so you see a dearth of really good small movies just, you know, disappearing. For years, I wrote sort of bigger action movies, and I still write these action movies, and now I want to write smaller movies, which is what I started out writing. Like Taps was a smaller movie, Karate Kid was a smaller movie, and I find it hard, really hard, to get them off the ground. You know, nobody wants to make a movie about my experiences when I was a senior at NYU. When I went to University Heights, and in my senior year, a bunch of black students and radical SDS kids took over the library, and there was a whole big thing on the campus about this, and nobody wants to make a movie about that. So I would like to. I mean, I've written one, but nobody wants to finance a movie like that. If I had vampires taking over the library and then falling in love with some of the co-eds who lived in the five towns on Long Island, and they brought the vampire home for Shabbos dinner or something, you know, maybe they'd make that. Right? Sorry.
Are you working on any other projects currently?
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of stuff. I have my cerebral palsy love story, which Anne Hathaway is attached to star in. I have a movie called Bangkok 8 that was just greenlit based on an international bestseller. And that's supposed to go in May. We're shooting in Bangkok. The guy who directed V for Vendetta is directing that. Started a movie about a female hit woman. And, you know, of course, that's redundant. And I have a whole bunch of stuff floating out there. You know, you write things and they don't get made immediately, and they just sort of float around out there, and then they get picked up and they get made. And the guy I write with, Luc Besson, he finances his own film, so the chances of them getting made are higher. So mostly everything we write gets made.
And what kind of advice would you offer to a budding screenwriter?
Yeah, find another profession. It's really hard. Get a day job. I don't need the competition. The thing about writing is you have to really like writing. And a lot of people who write screenplays, they want to be directors, so they write, and then as soon as they can, they kind of give up the writing. And because it's hard, you know, you spend all this time alone by yourself and, you know, making shit up, and you don't know where you're going, what you're doing. And you have to really love the process, because otherwise it's torture just sitting there all day. And my advice, if you like writing, just sit and write, and just write and write and write. It's practice. It's a craft. You can have your inspiration comes up front where you think of something to write, and then the rest of it is craft, is knowing how to shape things and how to write dramatically and all the rest of it. And it's just practice. Practice, practice, practice. I mean, I'm doing it 30 years. I'm still learning stuff when I write.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast today. And be sure to check out Robert's newest film in theaters now, Transporter 3. Looking for that perfect holiday gift? How about a bottle of Cayman wine? Visit www.caymanwines.com.